Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 318 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strahlers, and with me for actually real this time is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Buddy, it's good to have you back. I mean, if you're going to have a sub, Josh Chapman is a pretty good one to have.
But yeah, I agree.
It was fun having Chappie on the show, but it's good to have you back.
It's good. And I listened to the show because I was listening to him like, Chapman's always a great guest. Like, you got to love the guy. He's a nice guy. He's prompt. He really gets his thoughts in and out real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a great guy. That's how his show moves, right? That's one of the things we always praise about it, because he's not right. Long-winded like our fucking dumbasses.
Exactly. There's not a lot of BS and fluff.
He's like, all right, come on.
Get on point is the word I would use to describe what he does.
No, he's a great guy. But he's so on point that I can't help but notice that you guys didn't mention R5D4 at all.
I know.
And I'm really like, because like when I did my reaction video, which I know you've not seen, I had like a 2 or 3 minute thing where like I like really focused in on the fact. And like I even like had a moment where I was like, we're called the fucking Bad Motivators. I have to care. And here you are.
I want to lie and tell you I was waiting on you to be back. That's a lie.
That's a damn lie.
I was just, you know.
Nah.
Well, yes, man.
No, and by the way, I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad that whenever you or I are not here, we always make sure we get like the best guests we can. You know, I had Hawes and you were gone. You got Chapman, you're gone. Like, you know, that's the best you can do, pretty much. You know what I mean? So,
well, the only minus for having Chapman on the show, and I hope he hears me say this, is when he said, you know, he really liked the Bluey podcast, but he thought it was funny how sometimes we would get we would totally miss the whole point of the Australian colloquialisms. And I was like, how dare you, sir?
How dare you be so accurate?
Well, I mean, like, hey, I get most of them right, man. I think what he was referring to specifically was in the Claw Machine episode, Bingo mentioned she's going after these chocolate doodads, right? Well, and doodad means the same thing there as it means here. It's like a whatchamacallit or a thingamabob, you know? But the thing is, that sounds exactly like what they would name a candy, because we had the candy bar called whatchamacallit. Yeah. And so I naturally assumed that it was probably a candy. Maybe he was talking about something else. I don't know. But he did make fun of me quite a bit for the whole 20-cent coin that, according to Wikipedia, is called a quinter. And every Australian I know chimed in on, I've never heard that word anywhere in my life. And so I looked at the Wikipedia page, and right next to the word quinter in the you got subscript and superscript. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah. Citation needed, it said, next course, to Quinter. And I'm like, course. You rat bastards.
Well, you know, every time we're not sure if our Australian friends are listening, all you got to do is just say something incorrect about Australia and they're up your ass immediately. So,
yeah. Like, for example, I'm pretty sure their national currency is called boomerangs. Let the emails come in. Of course, we don't check the emails, so send them all you want.
The emails we no longer give out.
Yeah. Anyhow, man, how was your getaway? How was your trip?
We were talking before this, you know, it's nice to get away, and then, you know, you have to bring your kids, you know, I think by law, in most cases. While they're great, they also can make things harder for sure. And
you got that right.
They're very quick to get bored, very quick to tell you this is the worst, very quick to tell you, I don't want to go home. Like, but you just said this was the worst. And very quick to be ungrateful for the fact that you just spent $300 in fucking Flavor Town for them to play arcade games.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. We went to Guy Fieri's Flavor Town in Tennessee. It was funny. Like Max's best friend and Lily's best friend. They have the same parents. They were down there at the same time, and we
Max
didn't know
they and
were
Lily.
Yeah, Max and Lily's best friends.
That was a joke.
We decided to bring them together this time instead of leaving the 4-year-old at home with the because the problem was we had to bring the dogs this time, so dogs couldn't watch her. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So we had aging dogs. We took on us for a 6-hour trip. Luckily, we got them super stoned before we left, so that was nice. Because usually the pug is whining and in my face the entire time in a car. So this time he had his little dog bed on the passenger seat, just fucking, it was great. I got lots of pictures of it. I think they just finally recovered from it on the way back. but it wasn't terrible. And like, you know, it makes you, I said, nothing will make you feel ungrateful about a free cabin than your kids. How quickly that turns around.
Kids are something else.
Yeah, no, and I'm shitting on them. I love my kids, but like it's funny how like you go for a peaceful time away and it's anything but every time. But like they always say, like vacation isn't really vacation. Like, you know, like vacation is when you take off work and just like stay at home and don't do anything. Mm-hmm. That's more like a vacation. Like Conan O'Brien, he makes this joke about how when he goes on vacation, he just wants to not do anything. He just wants to be in wherever they pay just to be and just sit there. He's like, my wife always says, I'm really good at doing nothing. And like his assistant's like, I wouldn't say that's a compliment. He's like, it's not a compliment. She's like, no, she's saying you're worthless, basically. But we had a good time. We came back. My wife... Today is my wife's 40th birthday.
Nice.
Oh, Rachel. On Saturday, we did finally get our alone adult evening to ourselves. We went up to Indianapolis and stayed downtown.
You went to a bed and breakfast at your favorite getaway, Muncie.
I love that.
We have a timeshare there.
I love that whole shtick and bit with Park and Rec and Muncie. It's so great. And they have all the photo albums every time they've gone. It's fucking Muncie. But we got to stay downtown. And I will tell you, like, I'm not much of a drinker anymore. So like, I don't really ever think about it when I order one. I don't really think about the prices of things. And we went to like a really nice restaurant, like a really like overpriced, but like really nice steak meal. And like, you know, did the whole, we're going out as adults thing, you know, and we had, you know, and the drinks there, like I had an old fashioned there. It was like $17, which is really expensive, but it was like really nice one. It tastes really good. Well done. And we went back to our hotel at the hotel bar there and like, okay, what kind of bourbon would you like? And I had to figure out what I picked like the like middle of the road one. I forget what it was. And then Rachel got like a Tito's vodka, which if you don't know anything about Tito's is like $30 for a handle. You know what I mean? Like it's not like it's the ritziest vodka. It's good, but it's not the ritziest vodka in the world. And we always like them because they donate to help dogs. So anyways, she got like a double Tito's with a splash of cranberry, and I got an old fashioned. You want to guess how much those two drinks cost us?
At the hotel bar?
Uh-huh.
$41.
$56.
Ooh.
$56 for two drinks.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
With no, that's before tip, right?
Yeah.
Damn. I don't drink anymore.
Same. I mean, I don't really drink at all. We were just out and about, so we did. And we weren't driving anywhere. So we were just kind of walking around downtown, different places. But anyway, I'm sorry, long-winded story here, but like, when I looked at the bartender, I said, that's a little pricey, don't you think? She's like, well, you are downtown. I'm like, okay. Like, I was just downtown at a really nice restaurant, and I paid $17 for the same drink, and I thought that was a lot.
Well, you are downtown in beautiful Muncie. So, you know. So real quick story about drinking, and I've probably told this on the show before, but for the longest time, I didn't realize alcohol in bars cost money. And the reason I say that is before I moved to St. Louis, I was in a band that played literally every weekend. It was the other two dudes' sole source of income.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so we played every weekend. And a lot of times we played this one gig where we played Wednesday night also. And so part of the deal back then, at least, was that you got free drinks. And so when I moved to St. Louis, it was a real adjustment to not just go order a beer at the bar and then walk off with it. They're like, hey, where are you going? And I'm like, what? What? You want money for this?
Alcohol costs money?
Well, hey, speaking of walking away and stealing stuff, why don't we just do this joint right here? Oh, yeah. Did you get anything, man?
I tell you what I did get, and that is a sense of home ownership pride, right? I contacted you probably, the day we got back from vacation. And I was, because I came home, and the next day after I took our showers and started washing some clothes and stuff, I happened to go into the back room of the basement and noticed that there's fucking water everywhere all over the ground.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Somebody had accidentally turned the thermostat on the outside to very hot, and I'm not going to blame people, but I'm going to blame my 4-year-old. And it's not like one of the older ones where you gotta take the front place off and put your screwdriver in and turn it yourself, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's just an external knob.
Zoink. Yeah. It's like, I feel like that should lock or something. So whenever it started filling back up, the pressure got really a whole bunch and it started spewing out the TMP relief valve.
The pop right? off that TMP stands for temperature, by the way. Yeah. But anyway, go temperature, something, pressure. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, it's temperature. Yeah. Yeah. I was actually going to make a clip for this where it was like, dad advice you didn't ask for. So of course I initially reached out to Eric. I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, this is like, I'm going to go fucking water everywhere. This sucks. And like, I was giving excuses while my Patreon video wasn't out yet. and this was one of them.
Here's something interesting. If you're not subscribed to Patreon, you definitely should. Patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Here's another commercial for Patreon. Not a single person asked why it wasn't out yet. Because they're so understanding. Just kidding. Our Patreon rules, man. You people are missing out if you're not subscribed. Dude, $5 tier, excellent stuff. $8 tier, holy crap. Hold on to your pants because your eyes are getting ready to piss tears.
Yeah. Our YouTube channel's been lighting up too, so you should check that out too. The Bad Motivators on YouTube, you can find us. We got more stuff coming there as well. But I did realize, but like the reason why I was kind of skittish about it is because it's a safety feature, right? That thing literally keeps your water heater from blowing up. That's the whole point of it. And so I reached out to Eric and he's like, oh, he goes, if it's not scalding hot, the spewing out of your thing, it's probably just that valve. It shouldn't be too hard to change. I was like, okay. So, but because I'm my wife and I aren't handymen like yourself, I could do some things, but I've never really messed with plumbing that much except besides like changing out a couple things. And we called a plumber the next morning at like 9:30 in the morning, and they said, we'll put you on today's schedule and we'll call you whenever they're on their way, 34 minutes before. Noon comes around, no calls. I call them back at 1:30. Like, hey, do you have any update? They're like, oh, they're still on that job from this morning. Okay. So no calls. I try to call them around 5:00. They're already closed their office. Like sweet. And then I start, my wife starts giving me like, look, like it's been over a day since we had a shower and we got all these clothes we need to wash. And like, I really hope that guy calls. I'm like, me too. And I start looking up videos and stuff online. And every video I saw was like, basically, don't be a wuss. This is the stupidest, easiest thing you can do yourself. It's a $20 part. So a plumber's going to charge you about $300 to change this part. Trust me, you'll be fine. just do it. Follow these steps. Sure enough, easy as shit. Changed it out in about 5 minutes. Everything was great.
Was it that valve?
Yes.
Nailed it.
Yeah. And
I was like, Cruiser, put that water heater on the phone. I'm going to tell it how it's going to be. Well, it's funny because he called me or he texted me and asked if he could call. And we were out to dinner somewhere, like for the first time, not eating at home. And I couldn't tell you how long. And part of me wanted to be like, sure, call me. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Screw you, buddy.
Yeah, we're not even. No. No, you may not.
And so I didn't, you know. I was like, but it was funny because after I had it fixed, the plumber called me at like 7:30 at night, which is surprising. And he called me and he's like, hey, I'm just calling, make sure you still need our plumbing services. I was like, well, no, I actually just went and got all the stuff to fix it myself. He's like, what's wrong with it? I said, oh, I think the TMP valve is broken and I'm just going to replace it. He's like, oh yeah, you could easily do that yourself. He's like, but if it continues to leak after that, he's like, call us back because there's something else you probably can't fix. I'm like, oh, okay.
So if anybody wants to know while we're talking on Tech Talk, home improvements. So the way that valve works on the side of your water heaters, it's this spring-loaded, temperature-rated thing. And so whenever it gets past a certain amount, it pops open. So if it gets super hot and the pressure starts building up, because that's what it's really responding to is the pressure. Mm-hmm. The pressure builds up to the point where it shoves that valve open. And it usually happens on an over temperature. And that's why plumbing tip for everybody is most municipalities by code require you to have an expansion tank on your plumbing system, which is a like spring-loaded bladder-filled tank that whenever the water starts to heat up, it goes into that expansion tank and pushes it open because the water heater makes water expand. That's what happens. So if you live in a house that doesn't have one, you're going to notice that, like specifically, probably the fill valve on your toilet will constantly have to be replaced because it'll start leaking past because it can't withstand that pressure. And if you, if the water heater is like in full heat mode and you turn on a faucet and it goes real hard at first, yeah, you need an expansion tank on your system. But anyway, there you go. And a lot of times those valves, they're made to do exactly that, save you from dying. And they're on a work once and fail sort of thing. Much like a bodyguard who jumps in front of you to take a bullet. Anyway, did you get anything else? Now that nobody else is listening, I can tell you what I got.
Hey, you know what, dude? People can say whatever, guys, whatever. Like, somebody's going to hear this and be like, you know what? I heard it's a bad movie. Everyone, maybe it's just this, and that's what it is.
You know what's wild, man? I'm not a plumber, but I know a lot about mechanical systems, and it's amazing. Somebody asked me one time, and listen, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, okay? But somebody's like, how do you know so much about so many things? I said, I'll tell you a secret. Everything's the same. It literally doesn't matter what it is. It's the same as the other thing. And you know how you have, like, you've learned in science class when you're young, like the 7 basic tools, or have they reduced it to 5? You know, you have the lever, the plane, the screw, which is a curved inclined plane, so on and so on, right? Everything's based off that. It's all the same. And now you know. Okay, enough about that. So here's what I got. All right. I streamed, by the way, building the saber that I'm making for Hawes last Friday, and I got quite a bit of viewer engagement on, which was pretty cool, man. I'm glad that people dug it because it was really cool to do. And I guess that's a sense of satisfaction, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it was really cool to, I don't know, just sort of learn more about like the process of it and stuff and introduce people to like the inner workings of stuff like that and like what goes into making one and just like electronics in general. It was pretty cool. And
let me ask you a question though. On your engagement on that video, were there a lot of people you never interacted with before?
Everybody who chatted, for the most part, I knew.
Okay.
But there were more people watching than who mentioned it in the chat, so I have no idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, there's, like, that was the thing that was surprised me, the hell out of me, was the most viewer most viewer engagement and viewership I've ever had on any of my Twitter, my Twitch things have been when I built that PC. That's mm-hmm. like people are, they you wouldn't think people go to Twitch to find people building things, but apparently they do. Mm-hmm. And it's like a very popular thing. But yeah.
And I'll probably be streaming some more lightsaber building on this Friday at maybe, I don't know, 10 a.m. Central Time. We'll see. It'll be sometime around there. You know, it's cool. It's a cool vibe. And yeah. I had trouble finding a camera placement where my hands weren't in the way. But here's the deal. And I prefaced the entire thing with this. I am building a lightsaber. My concern is doing a good job. So you'll see what you see. And, you know, I talked about how all of it works and what the pieces do and how they make. And it's cool because, like, I've found a couple things that don't actually line up as easily as I hoped. And so yeah. I've got to shim this out and do some measurements and stuff. But, yeah, it's almost done. It's very close.
Are you a multicam on that?
I have one pointing at me, which is actually my laptop's camera, and mm-hmm. then one just top down pointing at my work surface.
Because you have two webcams that are mobile, right?
Right. Yeah. But it was like to switch between them, and the thing is, like, I really had to be cautious about having crap in my way because mm-hmm. I'm working with a soldering iron, and yeah. I run my soldering iron. Like, a lot of people will get, you know, I get it. You got like this 25 watt. Hobby soldering station and stuff. And that's cool. Don't get me wrong. But, like, you know, I've got this rework soldering station with a hot air gun that I have set for 100 degrees Celsius to shrink heat shrink tubing, but it'll go to like 600 degrees Celsius. I run my soldering iron at about 400 to 450 degrees Celsius. It does not take much for that to get away from you and accidentally burn through anything it touches. So,
oh, yeah. It would obliterate those plastic housings on those cameras.
Oh, yeah. Cable, whoops. Mm. Camera, whoops. Yeah. So, yeah, my laptop's far away. Because, I mean, you just can't take a chance, man. But lightsabers are rad.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing how they go together, and ultimately the way I've built them is I've managed to, like, streamline the process and all that. Anyway, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And I've sort of, like, it sort of reignited my passion for it. But that's cool. Here's a sad story that involves soldering, if everybody's ready for this.
Uh-oh.
The guitar I've been playing the most is this white guitar and...
The Flying V?
What's that?
The Flying V?
No. My strap-bodied Atomic guitar. Same company that made me this, but it's a strap-bodied thing. It's got a rosewood fretboard and big honking maple neck. And it's what I recorded. All the guitar tracks on the EP I recorded with Abby all those years ago. Mm-hmm. I used this guitar for, except for the acoustic guitar. But anyhow, the volume pot was getting all scratchy. So I go and throw a new one in it. And I talked about this, but I get to work, no sound will come out.
Mm.
And I was like, well, how'd this happen? And it's a whole thing involving how they wired it before. But I opened it up and cut open a network cable. And so I could get a piece of real thin gauge wire and use that to bridge across this. But then my volume control did nothing. I'm like, oh, sweet. I probably burned the inside of it. So I got home after church that day because I just used it with the volume wide open. And I got home that day and I'm like, I got another volume pot like this. I'll just throw this other one in and off I'll go. And I checked it with a little combo amp. Sound came out and I'm like, neat. Put it all in the case and left. Then I got to church Sunday day. And I strummed it once and it's like, and then no sound ever again. I'm like, neat. I did it. I nailed it. But the worst part about it is that after that, I had a gig played at the blues game, St. Louis mm-hmm. Blues at the arena. I went there and we played out in the concourse before the game. And it's like a very timed thing. They're like, okay, at 4:40 PM, you will play an 18 minute set. And whenever we wave you down, you got to stop and you do this. And then at this time, you're going to play for 6 minutes. They're going to introduce you. You're going to do this, blah, 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 blah. And then you'll play like 15 minutes during the first intermission and you're done. That's all, you know? And so it was kind of hectic. And I was already down. I was like, well, one of my guitars doesn't work. Don't break a string on the other one. And I didn't. But yeah. Guitars,
you ever seen that video of a BB King changing a string while he's still playing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's hardcore, man. So, and the last thing I'll talk about work-wise, and we'll actually jump into the sweet, sweet nerd content. Actually, this is pretty nerdy. But so my little girl, when COVID first hit at the church, when, you know, the only way we had to connect with congregation is via video because everything was locked down. So somebody had the idea that we would do these bedtime stories. Mm-hmm. And for 2 weeks, we had a different one every night. And Stella had committed to doing them, and she just stuck with it. And this past Sunday, so yesterday at the time of this recording, she did her 156th bedtime story, and that's the end. She's closed up shop because that's exactly 3 years of weekly bedtime stories without missing a single one. And here's what's a really cool part, man. My pastor was like so proud of her. And so he asked if he could like recognize her for it. And so I recorded a video that was going to be at the front end of her story, just explaining, hey, you know, here's the deal. Here's what we did. Here's what she's accomplished. And I'm really proud of her. And thank you, everybody who's watched and so on and so on. Well, they showed that in the auditorium and she hadn't seen it before. She didn't know I did it. And I could tell it like kind of moved her.
Oh,
he called us up on stage and she and I went up there and talked about just what an accomplishment it was. And then he called my son up because he got real involved during that time too, man. He would go in with me. So like tech stuff, if anybody's into tech and audio and video stuff, it's really cool. One of the things we did during COVID is that we only could do like online church. Well, we started recording it ahead of time so that we could edit it and post and make sure it was perfect. Because it was the only way we had to, you know, to reach the people and stay connected to the congregation. And so we needed it to go without a flaw. And so we did it all in post and then would stream it. I could have streamed it from home. You know, could use, I mean, heck, I had a service that could pretend to stream it for me, you know, but, or I could stream it with OBS, did that a couple of times for the midweek services and stuff. But what we did, man, is Henry and I went into that church every Sunday morning and turned everything on and ran the PA loud as hell and put the and we straight up made sure church was happening in that building, whether people were there or not. It was a good time, man. My kids got real into it. My pastor was super cool to recognize them. It was neat. And the way the congregation got behind it, man, I think they really saw the value in what they did. And that was important to me, you know?
Yeah, no, that's very, very cool. It's always a very cool moment when your kids recognize that what they did mattered. You know, that's very, very cool because they often, you know, kids always feel like marginalized just by their their status in life. You know what I mean? Like they have to do what we say. They got to follow these rules and they just can't wait until they're an adult so they can have all these great freedoms that we enjoy.
What sucks though is my pastor did mention to everybody that you guys might not know this, but Eric's actually a pastor. And I was like, we went a long time with nobody knowing that. Well, thanks. Great. So this will be my last episode of the Bad Motors. I'm just kidding. But it was funny because most people didn't realize that. And for one, I never want anybody addressing me as Pastor Eric. F that, man. But one thing that was funny is he talked about how kids of the people involved in high levels of ministry, right? Because listen, I want my kids involved in the tech end of things if they're interested in it. Henry's very technically minded, you know, and from like, I know we're sort of a all things nerd podcast and not pop culture necessarily, but just nerdy stuff in general.
Yeah.
That's the nerdiest thing there is running sound and doing video. And so for him being keen on that, it's really, really cool, you know. But he mentioned how kids of the people involved in high-level ministry, right? Because I have a job there. That's my job, but I volunteer. Whenever I'm there on the weekends with the people, I'm volunteering just like them. I've already worked my time during the week.
Yeah.
But the kids get special privileges. And one of the things I said is that's correct. They both know the code to the closet where all the snacks are stored for the coffee shop. And the guy in the front row, my buddy Matt, he and his wife run that and his eyes got real big. I said, suddenly things make a lot of sense, don't they? I'm glad that Stella didn't shout it out. It's blah, 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 blah. But anyhow, enough about that. That's what great. We did. It was great, man.
I like how you mentioned that, like, there is nothing nerdier than running, like, sound and video, all that stuff, because it's true. But you know what else? All these nerdy things people enjoy wouldn't happen without the nerds running the sound and video for all those
That is right. If you had any idea what it took. So at that Blues game, man, they had this intern there who was the one, like, signals. I swear I know the guy. I didn't ask him, hey. His hand signals, he's like going... And I'm like, do you mean wrap it up or do you mean keep going? Because you can really interpret that either way. And there's no like industry standard. Here's what this means.
Yeah.
But, stop it. But yeah. Anyhow, enough about that. Well, while we're talking about super nerdy stuff, we had a super nerdy week in Star Wars. Before we jump into the two shows that we had, I do want to throw something out there real quick. And that is that. So I don't know how to interpret this, and you can take it however you will. But Slash Film was asking Damon Lindelof about what it's like to be working on a Star Wars movie. Because we've all kind of wondered, what's the score with that? And what he says, I'll just kind of try to paraphrase it, is that, let's see, he said, for reasons that I can't get into... the degree of difficulty is extremely, extremely, extremely high. If it can't be great, it shouldn't exist. That's all I'll say. And what he talks about is how he still, like, his association with Star Wars is the same as us. He watched it and loved it when he was growing up. And he said, sometimes you get in the kitchen and you go, maybe I shouldn't be cooking. Maybe I should just be eating. And he said, we'll leave it at that point. Well, what that tells me is not that he confirmed that he's working on a movie. What that could sound like is that he got in there and realized, this is above my pay grade. I don't know what this means. But, you know, we've got a celebration coming up here in just a couple weeks. It's a couple, 3 weeks. So we'll know. We'll know more then. But
I keep forgetting it's that close.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure we'll find out something. You know, maybe.
Yeah. I keep hearing that is all his shit's a go. That's why I keep hearing the only thing that's actually really in the works is his thing. Everything else could keep getting shelved. That's what I keep reading.
So one thing that's cool, I don't know if you had heard this, and I meant to mention this, my good friend Tracy Moon is the one who tipped me off to this, that this year they are going to be giving since it's the celebrations in London, and it's, I don't think even as many tickets get sold for it, but you know, the geography and the reality of traveling and internationally changes the landscape of who does and who doesn't go to these things. Right.
Yeah.
But they were going to give people at home basically the exact same experience via stream that you would get if you were there in person, which means you're not going to get into any of the good panels. And so it'll be exactly the same.
Yeah, but say basically, if you got most of the things you would get into would just be rooms where you could watch a stream.
But no, that's the whole joke, that, you know, you don't get into any damn panels. And I don't know, you know, last year at Celebration, they didn't stream a whole bunch of it. So I don't know what that's going to look like. But honestly, man, there's something about watching at home. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
I'd just rather watch it after the fact. Have somebody tell me, give me the highlights.
I mean, I feel like if they are not going to show it live, I feel like they should at least give us like a 10-minute like breakdown of a panel. You know what I mean? Like just have somebody who's working for Lucasfilm put together 10-minute YouTube videos or throw them, or 5-minute YouTube videos, just so we get the gist of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Like information like that shouldn't be, you know, exclusive. Like, because it's going to get out. So why not just get it out in your way instead of people just telling us, you know?
Right. Well, why don't we talk about what we do know about Star Wars? And that's the fact that we had an episode of The Mandalorian that just had everybody on the edge of their seats ready to go get a snack. And also an episode of The Bad Batch.
Yeah.
And...
I want to say, in the midst of everything, I did not get to watch Bad Batch. I was going to rely on you to tell me about it this week. So,
well, yeah. You're in luck.
Thank you.
We'll talk about. Let's just talk about it first, then.
Okay.
Because I think about as many people are watching it as are watching The Mandalorian. I keep hearing that the viewership numbers for The Mandalorian season 3 have not been super high.
Which is weird.
It's a shame because it's very good. So, yeah. But in The Bad Batch, that we find the Batch on this planet called Pabu. And they're there with Fee. It's her homeland, essentially, which it's like the melting pot. It's gimme your cold and tired and hungry people. And it's there. They've got this like museum of sorts. And it turns out that while she's busy being Indiana Jones and stealing all this stuff, it really is to bring it back to people to have like where they're still, they can hang on to their heritage. Right. That's the whole point. And it's this beautiful island and all these things. And one of the reasons she wanted to go there is the mayor has a daughter who's real close to Omega's age, and they instantly hit it off and they're pals. And it's real idyllic. The place is beautiful. And they think maybe they want to stay there. And there's an earthquake.
Oh,
apparently it happens, but it seemed kind of bad. And Hunter felt it coming. Like he somehow knew, but anyhow,
he could find a location on the other side of a planet by putting his ear to the ground. So,
right.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. I'm not expendable. So anyway, it triggers a tsunami.
It's never over.
Yeah. Which was horrific, you know, for anybody, any, you know, countries who have experienced one, it's horrific. It's just horrific, you know? But, yeah, tsunami, Omega's out at sea with her friend. They're trying to get back. And essentially, everything turns out okay. Mm-hmm. They save everybody. Everybody makes it to the, like, upper areas of the place. The bottom gets devastated. And the Batch decides, you know, I think we'll stick around. I think we'll stick around and help rebuild this place. This is right uptown. We like this. And it ends all happy. Obviously, that's not going to stick.
Of course not. Know,
because one of the things that happens is Sid contacts him, or she tries to contact him. And
are they getting kind of rebellious against her now?
Well, they've just turned their backs on her. She left him stranded on that planet.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, I'll see you. And I don't know. But anyway, this turned into a whole thing where she's like, listen, you need to get a hold of me. Considering what we both know about each other, it'd be a good move on you, blah, blah,
blah. So she's going blackmail now.
Yeah, okay. Here comes the turn. But anyway, and it seems like Tech and Fee, which is Wanda Sykes' character, there's some smoky eyes going on between those two.
All right, then.
But yeah, I can dig it. He's down with the swirl. It's good times.
That Wanda Sykes is a lot more animation voices than you think. She's in all kinds of things.
Yeah.
She's just doing Wanda Sykes voice.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't try to character it up, man. It's like she's on well, it's kind of like how Grabalo the Hutt on the Lego stuff is unapologetically Master Shake. It's like they don't even say, hey, can you put a different spin on this? No.
Nah. I am Master Shake.
Yeah, I'm Master Shake with a Hutt tail. But anyhow, yeah, so it was good, man. And that's how the episode ends. And naturally, you're figuring, okay, well, this whole Sid thing's going to be a problem. And the concern becomes, do they end up bringing death and destruction upon this place because their very presence there? I don't think they would let that happen, but, you know, who knows? But what I thought would be funny, and I liked it because Hawes actually mentioned something real similar, is I thought it would be baller if for the next few episodes, the remaining, they just showed them living there and, like, going to work and nothing exciting happening except them just, oh, I brought my lunch. All right, it's time to build this. Anybody got the 2x4s? And just, that's the show. but that won't happen because it's going to get ugly. You know, they've got this whole other storyline of the remnants of the Empire, or the remnants of what's left of the cloners, which is simply, essentially Nala Se, I think is her name. And then the prime minister guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which had happened in the episode before. It's like, well, if you want to get to her, you need to get this little girl clone back.
Yeah.
And then you can talk business. So that's going to become a thing. And the thing with Sid's going to, all that's going to converge. But, and I'm hoping that leads to Crosshair coming back in. But
yeah, but where he's just not a part of the season at all, really. Like, he's been like a couple times, right?
Well, he was in not this past episode, but the episode before, yeah, where he was on the planet. It was snowy. But
still not a lot though.
Right. Right. Yeah. But that really put him in a spot where they're like, okay, he's going to turn. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because he's realized the Empire sucks, and they went ahead and he shot that Imperial commander guy and killed him. And then, you know, they've taken him and he's in some weird cloning place.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, we're just going to get in your brain and do this thing. But anyway, that was the Bad Batch. I would go and watch the episode, Were I You, because it was good. I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, I've not had a problem with the season. It just with everything that was going on, I mean, Mandalorian and The Last of Us were the only things that were front and center in my mind. I was thinking about, how am I going to watch these, right? The Bad Batch, I was thinking, okay, well, this is like a quick little like 20-minute thing I could fit in somewhere, like, you know, the bathroom or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wasn't like thinking about like making sure I was on a proper screen and like being able to like hear it really well. You know, it was like a whole deal. But like, I just kind of forgot about it in the midst of everything. So,
well, good times. The other thing we had was The Mandalorian.
Mm.
And it's a very intriguing episode.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before I'll let you carry this, but my take on it is this. It's very intriguing. There's some exciting mm-hmm. elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
this was the longest runtime episode so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
And it got pretty boring.
Mm-hmm.
The other episodes had a ton of stuff going on that they probably could have expanded a little bit, because it felt like mm-hmm. you were flying by the seat of your pants the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the episode that was long was this one. And they really drug out some of the stuff.
Yeah.
And my questions are, there was a couple of weird things that happened, okay? Dr. Pershing, he mm-hmm. opens up and he's in the opera house looking place and he's addressing everybody. I'm Dr. Pershing. I did bad stuff, but now I'm a good guy. But my work was important and my mom this and blah blah that, but then he like goes for the right side of his head, you know. And Rick Villanueva reminded us that, yeah, didn't he take a shot to the side of the head
in an episode?
And I'd forgotten all about that. But here's the thing, here's my only question. I'm going to throw this out there. We knew the one chick was bad from the get-go. Whatever her name is.
Yeah.
But is she working for Gideon and what she needed to do was erase his memory?
That's what I think.
Yeah, wanted him to get caught, right? So that was a good call on your part, because I was trying to figure out what her actual motivation was.
Not necessarily erasing his memory, but erasing his humanity.
Right.
That's what I think.
But my other question was this. And this is a very small thing, but it caught me when I first saw it. Sorry. It caught me when I first saw it. It's so boring, I can't even stop yawning while I'm talking about it. That he said a thing when he was talking to the Imperials, who, by the way, we're talking about, man, I'm glad we're not Nazis anymore, but God dang, we look good in those Nazi uniforms.
Good Lord, dude. All I kept thinking was like, oh, so like you're talking about the Nazi scientists after World War II. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
You're sure, like you're pretending like you're glad you're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Boy, it's good to not be oppressing other people, but whoo, the food.
I love this low-rent housing they got us stuck in.
God, we looked so sharp. I was getting laid all the time.
Mm.
And I don't understand why they're calling each other number designations. This is
I was like, what in the Clone Wars is going on here?
This is what the New Republic's doing to them, is continuing to have them be numbers in a system. But what I was curious about is Dr. Pershing. The guy says, oh, so you're new, huh? And he got real weird. And he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
New to the program. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, did he think he meant you're a new person that, like, maybe? So I'm wondering if he's a clone.
It could be. My thought was he Pershing freaked out because he's one of the nervous dude in general, but two, I kept expecting them to kick his ass. I kept because he was basically like talking shit about the Empire and in front of the whole galaxy, you know, I was expecting them to be like, oh, so we were all just wrong, huh? What you're saying? And get out the pillowcases with soap in them. You know what I mean? Space soap, specifically.
Right.
And
space sacks.
Yeah, space sacks. Soap. Yeah. But I'd hate to see what it's like to go through the sewer lines in Coruscant to escape. You know what I mean? Talk about Miles. During the episode whenever she was talking about how there was a trillion people on Coruscant all working together, my first thought was like, Jesus Christ, there's like 40,000 people in my hometown, and that's too goddamn many. I can't imagine a trillion people. That's a good Lord.
Yeah, that's a lot.
While they're eating their glowy popsicles and walking by the do not touch rock top of the mountain, which I don't know what's happening. Like I even said it because I did a reaction video to it. And like, I kept thinking like I keep like realizing what's going to happen before it happens all the time on this show. And I said, I don't know if I'm good or this show's just too predictable. Probably the second one. And
possibly
like, because like, I kept saying like, as soon as she's like, yeah, go, you know, there's the rock. You can go touch it. I said, you're gonna hear a rear, and I'll touch one sooner. Of course, that's predictable. The robot comes along. And like, it was all the shit that kept happening. It's happened on all three of the episodes so far. And I've enjoyed all of them, but like, I'm just like, what the hell's happening here? But the, this episode, I agree with you. It was, and I said at the end of my thing is that it was the longest episode and at times felt really long winded. I don't think you needed 50 minutes for us to understand that this chick was going to betray him, because we knew as soon as she showed up, she was exactly what she was going to do. Like, because she was Gideon's right-hand man. Like,
yeah,
she served him. Like, she idolized him. You could tell whenever she was around him, like, how much she just, like, I dream of Gideon. You know what I mean? And she was involved in all of his side plans he had going on, like, all the plan. I kept thinking, how the hell is she even here? Right? Like, she's not just here because... she's reformed. Like, she's not reformed. She's tricking the system. And the whole thing felt I'm not saying she did a bad job. I'm saying, but the whole thing felt so phony the whole time because I knew who she was. And it to me, the same thing would be like as if Gideon came back. Oh, I'm a good guy now. Everything's fine. Like, no, you're not. You're not good. You work for Sheev. That's all you do. Right. You're right. Sheev man through and through. We saw what you did to Navarro. I mean, they were not dumb. And we also know what you did to the Mandalorians and everything else. And so like, it's this whole deal. Like, you don't just idolize somebody like that and know all their history and all of a sudden you're a good person again, you know? And the whole time I was watching, I must have said, what the hell's going on? Like 40 times when I was watching it, like, what the hell, what's happening here? I don't understand. Why are we just like, and then for Dr. Pershing to like not know her, that was surprising to me. I was like, how do you not know who she is? Like, right. You guys both work directly with Gideon. Like, that feels like a plot hole to me.
Yeah. Because, I thought that was weird too. And so that's why I wondered if somehow, that was another thing that made me wonder if he was a clone and they're only able to like have some of his memories, which was the science part of it.
That's the most interesting idea I've heard so far. I never came to my mind at all, but given his connection to cloning and I always can't say the names, right? The Kaminoans. I mean, I could say
Kaminoans.
Yeah. This is a weird word to me. Yeah. Them cloners. Yeah,
cloners. Them cloners, Obi-Wan. God, that sounds like John Goodman.
Yeah, space John Goodman.
I was shocked to find out it wasn't John Goodman.
you know, that could very well be, but I don't know. I just think that he just has such a, he just worked directly with them. If he's a clone, maybe. I don't know for what purpose. But it could be an interesting plot thread. And they go into like a room. There's a whole bunch of Dr. Pershing. He's just like in Snoke tanks, you know? I found the episode interesting. I liked how sinister she got at the end when she was eating that the biscuit he liked so much. That was the thumbnail I used for the video because I liked it so much. And I put ex Imperial in quote air quotes because like I'm like, you ex, there's no ex in this lady. She's full on imp. And I love that she even like dressed up in her like best like my version of Han Solo outfit to be like this friendly rogue taking you places, you know, with her cool hair and like humble attitude and her muscles and her, you know, she's like, we're going to be fine. Everything's great. Tuck and roll, grandma, off the back of this train. It's fine. And, I don't know how I feel about the guard droids. They were kind of strange. I don't know. They almost felt like a little too like they always try to invoke like certain old movie tropes in some kind of characters, and I feel like that was a very big like thing. I was like, oh, okay, like you could have had them be droids that we know. Like I don't know why you had to be like, no, they're these fancy New Republic guards who have, you can't have no seams on them, as you know. Like it's like okay, but I like seeing the Star Destroyer graveyard. I thought that was cool.
Oh yeah, that was really neat.
I was mystified that the power sources still worked in them when they were opening them up. I'm like, why would they do that? Why would they, that I figured that'd be the first thing they would convert to things that they need would be the power sources. But, cause you got to imagine those things aren't cheap, to build, but I found it interesting that they're just destroying everything that the Empire did. Like instead of like looking through it, like not just destroy it. It's like, so you're behind, so you're just throwing away all the stuff instead of just archiving it and looking at it later. Like that seems so rushed and weird. Like what's the new Republic actually trying to do? Like it honestly made the New Republic feel more sinister. It was weird.
Well, I didn't. Yeah, but it also made me think that they're just so, their ideals are getting in the way of common sense.
Yeah.
That you have all this technology that you could be doing something with to
just, you know,
NASA. You don't want to become an, yeah. I mean, have you ever seen Independence Day? That's what you should have been doing. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, you've got all this stuff and you've got a world to safeguard, you know what I mean? By like a universe, a galaxy to safeguard. And you've got all these tools to do it. Yeah. But instead,
throw away the torture droid stuff.
Yeah, you're just dismantling everything, leaving yourself completely open to attack and so on and so on. Yeah. So
it's weird.
I don't know, man. It was a curious choice operationally.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we're curious. The making them feel like they're citizens, but still making them go by numbers. Making them feel like they're through a reform, using what Pershing called the mind flayer. Like, no, this is not that, but exactly what it was.
Right.
And they were just turned to soft core mode. You know what I mean? And then she immediately, and as soon as I saw her, can I stay here and watch him? He just relapsed. I'm like, did he? Cause I feel like you were like, he was like, no, I don't want to do this. Like, you're like, yeah, you do. And then like,
she totally pushed him into it.
Yeah, of course. And as soon as that guy left the room and I saw her hand go, I'm like, she's going to fucking ramp it up. She's going to fucking burn his brain. And he went from happy time to sad time really fast. So I don't know. I really think they're just trying to burn humanity out of them so they can do whatever they want, which is to help O'Sheev Palpatine out. So I think that's why they spent so much time on it, is so we realize how important Dr. Pershing is. But I feel like they could have done it in a less long-winded way and added some of that time back into the episodes that could have used more time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hate it. I think some people were extra into it because they got Cassian vibe and Andor vibes from it, but I didn't even get it that.
I didn't either. I didn't. That wasn't the connection I made.
I mean, if you want to say it's because there were dark elements in it, then okay. But like, Andor didn't waste your time with stuff. Like, every moment they gave you, it was all relevant to what was happening in the situation. And I'm not saying what happened in that episode wasn't relevant to whatever's going to happen later, and it probably will make a lot of sense. But like, I don't think we needed to see him going to the reform, like the big eyed droid. Are you still upset with how you are and how you're feeling towards New Republic? Right. I don't think we needed to see him speak to the rich people of Coruscant saying, "Oh, you're so brave for your thing." At all felt like just like rich people and their views not willing to get involved in things. Like I mean, what message are we sending? Like, okay, cool. And it is all like some of it felt over bloated.
Mm-hmm. It did to me too, man. It like I mean, just
bloated. Overbloated is a weird term. Bloated.
I knew. Yeah. The like intentionally bloated.
Yes.
Like yeah. It because I understood what they were trying to set up. They were trying to set up just the aimlessness of his existence with mm-hmm. the multiple visits to the droid, like the questioning droid you're talking about. Yeah. And that sort of thing where it's just this humdrum, suddenly my life doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Well, it's important. We got to enter all this data, pal. Boy, oh boy, that's New Republic. Sure is great. And so which why you could see him getting sucked into what this lady was telling him. But now one thing I did like is the droid, the taxi droid. It was so realistic how it turns and looks at him while he's flying through there like nonstop and almost like hitting somebody. I'm like, that was cute. That was
this fucking creep.
Well,
like my comment on that was like, not everybody wants to talk to the Uber driver. All right, sometimes you just need to turn around about your business and get me there. But yeah, no, that was a cute little thing too. If nothing else, I'm glad that those two characters and actors got a lot of screen time because I do both. Like both those characters. And I'm glad that we got to know more, got more time with them, right? Because they've been kind of like pushed around and kind of skated to the side in the rest of the episodes. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they got more time, much like they did with Bill Burr's character. But the difference is with that episode with Bill Burr is that was a highly emotionally impactful episode the entire time. And it really engaged you. This one, the whole time, I was like, what the hell is happening? What are we doing? Like, that lady is not good. She does not care about his well-being.
At all.
Yeah, and we know it. And, like, because I think what it was is, like, they were trying to pretend, like, make us feel like we don't know who exactly the fuck this lady is. And I'm like, we've all watched The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. We know who that lady is. Like, she's not a friend. She was not reformed. Like, we know this. And so it was like they were trying to like be sneaky with us somehow that was not going to work. Like, you don't remember this lady, do you? Yeah, we do. She was in quite a few episodes and she was very involved in Gideon's plans.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, here's the thing. They're sort of beating you over the head with the fact that what he was working on was for the Emperor Palpatine mm-hmm. longevity program mm-hmm. when a twisted individual shriveled and twisted. I wonder who he's talking about. He said to himself, knowing full well who he's talking about. I don't know, man.
Let's skip past that stuff and get back to the character who's the show's named after. Because Mandalorian got Boba Fett of this episode. You know what I mean? So like the stuff with the Mandalorian and Boba Fett, like, I mean, with
Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan. It's Bo-Katan obviously clearly hid the fact that, she saw the Mythosaur, which, by the way, we didn't get to talk about that, I don't think. Fucking awesome, by the way. That was a real thrill to see in the depths of that water, because we've seen that symbol for how many years, and to finally like see one was really cool. But I don't know, like, is her intent to, she knows the importance of the Mythosaur, and then if she were to give Din Djarin that information, as well as him having the Darksaber and blah, 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 and therefore he's even closer to becoming the ruler of Mandalore, because these are all very important symbols in Mandalorian culture, and therefore they'll follow him if he were to able to ride this thing and, you know, whatever else, because he already will, because he's got the saber, right? But like, mm-hmm. him, her giving him the little "this is the way" after they got out, and then Grogu doing the "this is the way," mm-hmm. his little gargle speech was great. But like in the end there, whenever they said, "you too are redeemed because you bathed in the waters," yada, yada. And they're all saying, "this is the way." And she clearly did not say, "this is the way." So quite obviously, is she trying? Is she trying to get them, you think, by playing along but not quite committing, but she'll keep her helmet on for a couple episodes, right?
Did she, like, not say "this is the way"?
I didn't hear her say "this is the way" after they all said it to her.
For some reason, I thought she did, but I was also having trouble staying awake by that point.
I could go back and watch it again, but I feel like she did not say it. So, but even if she did, it didn't really matter. But right. Like, because she clearly is not one of them. And I don't think she feels that need, but I wonder if she's thinking that if she can get them. What she needs is people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think she's thinking in her mind that she's going to convert them over to her side, and then if they're true Mandalorians, that they'll follow the rule of Mandalore, which is the Darksaber? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I wondered that with her staying quiet about the Mythosaur, so that she can ultimately use that to gain her foothold and rule. Or if part of it was, she's like, "I think maybe I'm crazy."
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I just made that all up in my head or what, kind of thing. Because I could see either one being the case, you know. An argument could be made either way for that. But, you know, I guess we'll see. Yeah. I did that dogfight. Was so good at the beginning. And I love, like, I'm willing to forgive the slight, like, sketchy CG moments that you'll see here and there, because for the most part, it's amazing. Yeah. But, like, and I love that they're going all in. They've used it several times of the, like, flying straight up, but doing the over the shoulder looking back shot to the R5. You know, super Top Gun. Thing where, you know, you see, yeah. you're looking over the top of the Naboo starfighter, and you see Mando's helmet in the foreground, and he's just rocking yeah. away. That's killer. I loved it. I thought it sucked that Bo-Katan's castle got bombed.
Yeah. That was a bummer.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that those were Moff Gideon's underlings doing all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to see how the rest of it plays out. We only have two more weeks of, like, multiple Star Wars shows in a day. Because this week we've got The Bad Batch and Mandalorian. And the following week we've got two episodes of The Bad Batch, which is the season finale.
Mm.
So, God, I'm really going to have to get on watching. I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of glad The Last of Us is over, because it frees up my Wednesday. Because I've only been watching The Last of Us on Wednesdays, it seems like.
Yeah.
But
so, I mean, speaking of that, like, you know, you finally know what happens at the end of the first game. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, The Last of Us, how do you, you know, because you and I have had a similar conversation before in the past. We have both had different answers about, I've told you before that, like, I would burn the whole world down to save my children. And you were like, I can't. You know, in my mind, like, really give up the entire world for me. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. that's what it is. Like, it's for your self being and whatever that you feel that way. So I'm curious how this kind of storyline, how you felt about it and how you felt about the finale in itself.
I really liked it a lot. And I very much understood Joel's situation. And part of what makes it so difficult for him is what happened to his daughter all those years ago. And he's been caught in this pit of despair all this time. Because one of the things is when Ellie says, time heals all wounds, and he says it wasn't time that did it.
So beautiful, man.
Yeah, because he's putting that on her. You know, you're the one who saved me. And to realize this, I think the only thing, like for me, I would be inconsolable if I knew the realities of what was happening and it was my flesh and blood kid, right? Mm-hmm. It's tough to say when you're in a hellscape like the world is then. But, you know, knowing that what Ellie would have decided was to go ahead and let this happen, it can't all be for nothing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a plainly sure thing.
Yeah, she didn't say, yes, please cut my brain out.
Well, that, but also just the notion that this might provide a cure.
Might.
Didn't seem like that sure of a thing.
Yeah, I don't know how you fight a fungus infection with a vaccine, but maybe you can. I don't know. Right. Like, 'cause it's especially that kind of fungus.
Well, my guess would be that what you could really only do in that case is figure out a way to save, to make future
people immune. Yeah,
for future sure. People immune, not
yeah. The ones affected people are done. They're not.
Well, no. I mean, even I'm talking about only the unborn, as of yet unborn people immune, as opposed to the currently alive people. Mm-hmm. But because here's the thing, the ones that are there, here's the flaw in this whole thing. The infected that are there aren't going anywhere. You can't kill enough of them to make them go away. Mm-hmm. They're the person's, the biological specimen's lifespan doesn't matter because of what the fungus represents for what it's doing, right? It's keeping these things alive when they're plainly dead. Yep. You know what I mean?
Really quick, because I had to go back and watch the first or second episode again, but I feel like Joel said they only last for like 2 to 3 years. But I could be wrong. Because, go ahead.
Maybe he did say that. It's hard for me to remember.
It's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. And I mean, and that could be the case, that they only last for X amount of time. So maybe, because
biological tissue is biological tissue, man, you know? And when the body's like been, it's all its organs have basically been just infiltrated by fungus to keep it going, it's only going to last so long.
Well, it's so, yeah, but I mean, if that's the case, eradicating it ultimately wouldn't be impossible.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But you don't need the vaccine.
You just need to stay away from them long enough.
Yeah, just long enough. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like that's completely impossible. The problem is that there's not a good way to communicate like widespread. Mm-hmm. Because what you'd have to do is literally get everybody left alive to gather and maintain safety. That would be quite difficult.
And if there's one infiltration and that's all over, though, you put them all in one place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but the main difference here for me, as far as like all this goes, and I didn't think it was an issue, and I'm not sure if it is, is that the way it was transferred in the game was multifaceted, right? Mm-hmm. And the game, you could get bitten and it could transfer to you, but it was also in the air through spores, which they decided to not do this way because it would be a lot harder, I guess, for them to, or maybe would increase the animation budget too much to be able to like have these spores and all this shit they got to deal with, right? And the mask and whatever. I don't know. But that was a big part of the game, where you had to go in certain places, you had to have a mask. It was a whole thing. Mm-hmm. So like, that kind of takes a major element out of it, right? Because if you get that, and that, and that's probably why they can't give up on the vaccine narrative, because then that changes the whole landscape of the entire game. Because you're right, they could just build a giant wall and then put every gun you have all the way around it, and just wait for infected to quit showing up and slowly die off, and then just wait, you know. Yep. But if it's in the air, it's a little bit different, you know. Right.
Well,
so go ahead.
Because that would be a literally insurmountable problem. If it was in the air, it would be hopeless. You'd literally be without hope. It works in a video game, but when you're really trying to make this is something that could happen, that would be impossible.
Yeah.
Because the number of people who would be immune would have to be very high for humanity to survive the length of time they did.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came up, like Randy was asking me, what do you think, like some people who are big fans of the game thought there should have been more clickers around, there should have been more interaction with the zombies. Me personally, I thought it was just right without it, because it focused on the story of the people. Agreed. Because it would be real easy to do this other thing, but the reason you had to have the constant threat of these creatures around was to make it a playable game and not just something you sat and watched.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you would get real worn out by it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but you know, because the whole point of this thing was the people. Yeah. And one of the things he had mentioned is it's almost like they forgot about the network capacity of the creatures to communicate distances. Mm-hmm. But for me, what I took that as was the reasoning why the only places people could survive well were completely remote, especially like super cold.
Wyoming.
All these things, you know, where it's just vast amounts of empty space.
Yeah.
And that's why that's where people were able to survive and have any semblance of normal life.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't bother me necessarily. Back to the whole conundrum of the decision that Joel made. One, I've always really liked that, you know, I've talked about it several times, but Clint Eastwood's character in The Unforgiven, where his friend is killed and he just loses it and methodically goes through town and just kills every last person. When Joel was doing that, I love the way it was done. I love that he shot that doctor in the face.
Held a knife. I won't let you. I got a fucking gun.
Yeah, that's a scalpel, sir. Surely you've heard all these gunshots and realized I was ultimately the victor in all those gunfights you heard. You could not have not heard that. Yeah. I was asking him this on the Sith list, which that's the Randy I was referring to. For anybody who listens to this and doesn't listen to the Sith list, Randy and Lejudice. But it's like I said, have you ever heard a firearm be discharged inside, especially like in a hospital setting where it's nothing but hard surfaces and long corridors? It would be deafening.
Yes.
You know, there's no way that they'd be shocked when somebody with a gun busted in. They would have heard
it. You ever been in one of those places where it's fairly empty, somebody walks down? It sounds like a horse is coming. It's like,
we rented a facility for the church. It was this school's, their cafetorium, which is a real popular thing now where it serves both purposes, you know, the cafeteria / auditorium. And they had this big open stage and it was this big box and it was designed to have all the flies, the curtains, you know, that can slide in from the side, but they didn't add any of that. So it was just nothing but flat drywall in this huge, huge rectangle box.
Woof.
And you know, it was enclosed because like the cutout for the stage was only part of the room, and above the top edge of the cutout, it was still more ceiling. So it was a cavern. And my friend took a notebook, a spiral bound notebook, and held it about 2 feet off the stage and dropped it. Yeah. And it sounded like a cannon went off in there.
Oh yeah.
And so, yeah, dude. So there's no way that those people wouldn't have heard him coming.
Yeah.
But I think for me, again, it comes down to the likelihood that this was going to work. Mm-hmm. Because we are talking about the future of humanity here.
Yeah, for sure.
And that'd be very difficult for me to sit back and let happen. But, you know, from an emotional standpoint, what should he have done and what would you be capable of as a person to allow to happen?
Yeah.
The smart thing to do would have been for her to say nothing. For, yeah. What was her name?
Until it was over.
Yeah.
But or not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not say anything and say, oh my God, she slipped away during the...
Or shoot him in the face. Mm-hmm. That's what I kept saying. Like, if you want nothing to happen, you should kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he obviously is very connected to this girl now.
Right. But so one thing that I thought, and now mind you, I've never played the game.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I thought when he lied to Ellie about what happened.
Yeah.
Right. When he lied to her and she, I think, knew. And I mean, they even address this in the like behind the scenes part. If you watch it on HBO Max. Now, if you subscribe to HBO Max through a service like Amazon, that you these don't show the behind the scenes thing on the Amazon app anyway. But so like, yeah, you watch it post credits, but it's like she probably knew, but she was just accepting that he lied to her for some reason. And it was because she knew that he cared about her.
Yeah.
But was it for him or was it for her? And I really think the decision was for him. He saved her for him, not for herself. But, or at least a bigger portion of it was for his sake and not her sake. But
yeah, I mean, obviously he couldn't bear to lose.
Right.
Somebody like that again. Yeah.
But one of the things that I think were I him in a situation like that, what I would have said was whenever he said, oh yeah, there was a whole bunch of them and they gave up on looking for a cure.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what I probably would have said instead is I found out when they put you under that there was a whole bunch of them and they had already tried this and they died.
Okay. Yeah.
And nothing came of it. All these immune people died for nothing.
And I got you out of there.
That's what I would have said, because that would be a lot easier lie to maintain, because so much of it would be rooted in the truth that it wouldn't be, because it could be super easy to slip up.
Oh yeah.
Going forward.
He did. You could tell he did.
Yeah.
I mean, she caught him. She knew, but she chose to believe him because she loved him, and like she said, like was it earlier in the episode or the whatever? But she goes, after this is over, I'll follow you anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that's he's her person, and that's and it. Man, I wish you played the second game. Oh my God.
Dude, I want to. Somebody just buy me a PS5. I'll buy the game. Just buy me a PS5. Somebody.
I'm seriously so tempted just to like meet you halfway or send my PS4.
I don't want your trash PS4. I want somebody to buy me a PS5.
Okay.
I'll buy the game, but just get me a PlayStation 5, somebody. If it's in tiers, kind of like the way the Series X and Series S are, I want the best one. And
it is.
Just
well. No, I think it's the same system, but one's disc and one's digital. I guess it's the exact same system.
I want the disc one. Send it to me. And then I'll play the game. I'll buy the game myself if I must.
Ugh. How noble of you.
The sacrifices. I would love to, and because that's one of the things. I don't want to get spoiled on it. And so like I had to bypass the episode about that particular game that with Sean Hoffman, one of my favorite people on what used to be my favorite podcast. I had to bypass that. For more on that, listen to the last episode of The Sith List. And that hurt. That hurt my soul. But yeah, I had to skip it. And I didn't want to because I love that show. Loved that show.
Loved. Past tense.
And, but yeah, man, I loved it. I loved The Last of Us. I thought it was great. It was so well done. The acting was so good. The writing was so good. I loved that he shot Marlene in the face. That was her name, right?
Yeah.
At the end.
Marlene. Yeah.
He shot her in the face. You'll never stop coming for her.
Yeah. Kablooey. Yeah. You'll just come for her again.
Yeah. That was good. I liked that. I thought it was cool the way Ellie, the way she played it, of not being able to snap out of like the PTSD part of what had happened to her, and him being just desperate to bring her around. And then like the comparing her to his daughter, that was borderline creepy, you know, and he's like, he couldn't stop himself from doing it.
To me, that was him justifying his actions and being okay with it. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. That's right. Him by comparing her so much. But I'm not saying you're not this, but you're a little bit different than this, and you're one of this.
Right.
It's him desperately trying to say, I did the right thing. Mm-hmm. This is what I did right. I did this. This is why I did this, because this is my daughter, but slightly different. Mm-hmm. And she's not.
Right.
You know?
At all.
Yeah.
But, you know, the acting from everyone, fantastic. Yeah. So good. Very, very good. I loved it. And,
And I said it in a video that I'm going to release on Patreon, that I'll say it here, that if Pedro Pascal isn't getting like Leonardo DiCaprio roles soon, then the whole world is upside down, because that dude, I'm not saying he's better than Leo or whatever, but he's definitely on like the same level of acting prowess, and he deserves to have those leading, like truly leading roles in Hollywood. And because he brings so much to everything he does. And like that moment we were talking about earlier, about whenever he goes, it wasn't time that did it. You know, that was so impactful without being overly emotional. Like it was like, because you, especially, I mean, I'm not saying this, but as a man, you know what it feels like to have something deeply touch you, and then try to not cry in the moment. You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't whatever pretend reason. Like I'm not going to. I cry all the time.
Okay. All right.
I do, man.
I know you cry, and I cry too, but you know what I mean when I say that. There is a thing where like it's not because you don't want to cry. It's because you feel like maybe in the moment it's not the best thing for you to do for what's happening. Maybe it's a serious moment or something you have to take care of. There's just a certain thing that happens where you can't be overly emotional about something in the moment. But like, that's what he was doing. That's how he is as a person. But like the times that he was able to show that emotion has been so incredible. Like when he was open up to Tommy about about how his life has actually been and how things have gone, and now he's afraid of he's going to fail, and everything he touches falls apart. Like, I know that was partially him trying to manipulate Tommy to doing what he needed him to do, but it was also real, you know? So like, it's crazy. The series was so incredible. I can't wait for the next season to come out. And according to Bella, it's going to come out like either the end of 2024 or the beginning of 2025. They think they're going to shoot it at the end of this year. So you got a while to wait. You got way a while. And I'm really curious to see if they split the second game into two seasons, because I know Randy said this, but it really could be. It's a very long story told from two perspectives. So it could very easily be two seasons. But there you go.
Rad. Okay, well, now it's time for the video game power hour. Video games, whoop, whatever. Yeah.
I almost forgot about it.
So yeah, real quick, because the episode's getting a little long. We're going to crank through this. I have barely been playing any Xbox. I'm still like maintaining my Red Dead streak as much as possible. But like, I haven't streamed at all. I've played Fortnite some. I got Stella the new battle pass, and we've barely played together. So that's a bummer, man. I miss playing all that and doing that. It's the way time is going right now. It's been tough. I mean, like, I got to get up in 6 hours to go to work early tomorrow.
Damn.
So it's just things like that keep popping up. But it is what it is. But really, what about you, man?
No, really quick. This just came in on the hot wire here. Josh Chapman just shared something that said, late night exclusive, Damon Lindelof and Justin Britt Gibson exit top secret Star Wars movie from director Charmin Obai. I can't say the name. According to sources.
So they're out.
Like, yeah, that's what they're reporting.
Neat.
Yeah. So go Nailed. Star Wars.
Yeah.
I guess what you were saying earlier has more relevance, huh?
Yeah.
So as far as me, Max and I have been playing a little bit of that new Fortnite. There's a new gun on there that makes me hate the game. I don't know if you've come across it yet. Is that pulse rifle, laser assault rifle, or something like that? It kills you extremely fast, and in the hands of some eagle-eyed, ramped up, not live much life teenagers, it's very lethal and it'll kill you quickly. And it makes you rage quit. Mm-hmm. But overall, the way the new season looks, the atmosphere looks great. I really enjoy the changes. I like that sword quite a bit. As far as making a new like motor transportation that they've done. Their movement things. I think it's pretty cool, and it's not overpowered like the hammer was when the reverse first came out. So not so bad. I'm glad they brought the sniper back. I do quite enjoy that sniper rifle.
It makes me mad. I don't like in any weapon that can one shot you with full health and full shields.
Yeah,
I think that's borderline obnoxious. I feel like, I mean, I get it if they make it to where it almost does you in.
Yeah,
but completely. I mean, it's you can't defend against it. There's no amount of skill that can save you from it if you don't know the person's getting ready to shoot you in the head.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things, the safeguards they make with that gun is that it takes forever to reload. Mm-hmm. And that would be your chance, if you're really good, to get away and do whatever. And I think that's how it should be. I think that anything that can one-shot you when you're at full capacity is overpowered.
Yeah, like if you have no shields, sure. But if you are full health and shields, yeah, I agree. It should be like a two shot, you mm-hmm. know, at most. That way you have a chance to survive.
Right.
But I mean, if it was a two shot sniper, I'd be happy with it too. You know what I mean? I just like having an open. But you're right though. It takes forever to reload, so that is kind of a disadvantage if you miss. If you miss, it's like detrimental to your health. I've been playing a ton of Brotato. I've loved it. I put like over a couple hundred hours into it the last like 4 months. And I was watching somebody else play it today for just a little bit. It's a stream. And each round you go through, you pick an attribute, or there's some things you can get to make your character better as long as you go along the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's several times, and there's like a money system involved and whatever else, a currency involved. And there were several times where like I was getting ready, like, oh man, I wish I had like 30 more. I can get this thing that'll really help me and really help me continue in my journey. But I'm like, oh fuck, I don't have enough to get it. So I just go on the next and hope I see it again. What I did not realize until today, to my shame,
mm-hmm.
was that there's a lock button on there where you can click on that item to lock, and then next round you can come back and it'll be sitting there waiting for you to purchase it with your now increased fundage. I thought for some reason in my mind that was like, if you hit lock on it, that means it won't come back because it's never explained in the game what it is. So like mm-hmm. I and like one of those things where you're like I don't know, for some reason I was afraid to try it out. I don't know why. And then once I pushed it out of my brain, it never came back again. And I was watching this dude play. He's like, oh, I'm gonna lock this, get this next round. I said, excuse me, what are you doing? I was so ashamed of myself that I hadn't even tried it. I know people are like, who cares? No, when you put a couple hundred hours into a game and one of the most elementary things of functions of the game, and you never realize that it was a function of something, it hurts your brain. Has that ever happened to you? Because I know you're much more technical brain than I, and you don't have like the scrambled brain like I do, and you pass on things really quick. Has that ever happened to you where like there's been a really simple feature that made your life way easier once you figured out that it was a thing?
Well, I mean, in the embarrassment that comes with not realizing it's there, of course, yeah. man. Like playing Red Dead, okay?
Yeah.
I love that game. Well, there's a mechanic where you can call your wagons to you.
Okay.
From out in the middle of nowhere.
You didn't know that.
Left D-pad, go to stables, go to own vehicles, and then hit it and call it. And if you're on a like a well-traveled road, it'll find you and come to you. I didn't know that. I thought you had to go to one of the stables and get your wagon.
Oh, so you're up on the hours you wasted to go do that.
Yeah, well, saying. It's like, yeah. okay, well, I'm getting ready to go hunting. I better go get my hunting wagon. Or, oh, I've got a bounty on this poster and there's more than one person in it. I better go get my hunting wagon my bounty wagon before I go pull it. And so I was playing with Tracy Moon one day and he's like, what are you doing? So I'm going to go get my bounty wagon. He's like, you idiot. Just do this. And I was like, I don't feel like they explained that very well in the game at all. How did you find out this was a thing? Yeah, I felt like so dumb.
I hate wish like that happens. You know what that mostly happens to me, like in the Adobe programs. Like it'll be like some little tiny feature that you didn't realize was a feature and it takes like hours off of your workflow, and then you're just angry at yourself for years after that because you wasted literally years on functions you didn't have to do. Like it makes you feel like you're just the biggest dumb that ever been dumbed. You know what I mean? So, anyways,
yeah,
that's my gaming tip. Make sure you figure out what all the fucking features do, because otherwise you'll be very mad at yourself the next day.
That's a good tip, man. You know, probably a real healthy life tip is quit playing video games, but I can't do it.
It's good for the brain. Yeah. Not the heart, but the brain.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good for the heart. But anyhow. Well, you got anything else, man?
Depends on which heart you're talking about. Are you talking like the emotional heart, or are you talking about the
cardiovascular? That's probably not. Unless I've got a treadmill with thing holding a game controller on it.
There's a guy that plays video games while he's on a stationary bicycle. He's called Sweaty Pedals. That's his like his Twitch name. And he plays like Call of Duty and shit while he's fucking riding on his bike.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's not bad.
God, I'd be ripped.
Right?
But anyhow, guys, listen.
Let's get out of here, man.
I already mentioned it. You got patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Good stuff going on over there, man, for reals. Check out TeePublic and Redbubble for the same coolness that you want to be like us. That's where you go. That's all I'm going to say.
Check out our YouTube.
Yeah, if you're going to, go to your YouTube channel at whatever it is.
The Bad Motivators.
Go to Twitter and follow us at @bad_motivators, or don't. I don't care. Go to the bottom of the show description and follow Cruiser on Twitch and me. And occasionally we might stream. And man, there's nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye. The Bad Motivators.